Thank you, Steve, for a good job of leading us in our singing. And that last song, of course, is very appropriate for the lesson that we're about to have and also for the week that many people are observing, as it is the day that our country has set aside to establish a day of Thanksgiving. But, of course, it's something that we should do all the time according to the Word of God. But if you were here a little while ago, you'll recall that we studied about Stephen and the message that he proclaimed, telling the people that as their fathers had crucified many prophets, persecuted them, or even Moses, and the way they treated him concerning the Word of God that they were speaking, he said they were doing the very same thing, especially as Jesus Christ died upon the cross for you and for me. And so, as I'd like for us to reflect upon, I'm very glad and thankful that these things did happen. And if you want to know exactly why, well, the answer will be found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. If you'd like to turn there, look at a few passages with me. Here in 1 Corinthians, I'd like for us to begin here at chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The reason that I am thankful these things happened to Jesus Christ is that He would die. And because of His death, He was buried. And because He was buried, He had the chance to rise again. You see, if Christ had not risen, then that means there would not be any hope for you or for me." And how do you go into detail describing the things that God has done for us? Very difficult, is it not? That's how Paul struggled to later tell the Corinthians in his second letter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." How can you thank God of all the wonderful things that He has given to us without really describing them? First of all, you have to realize where every gift comes from: through Jesus Christ. The passage I'm sure we're all familiar with in John chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. But God was willing to give up His Son. No matter what happened to Jesus, Jesus knew that it was for you and it was for me. And because of that sacrifice upon the cross, we can have not only eternal life from Jesus, but also we can be justified from our sins. In the book of Romans, in chapter 5, that's what the Apostle Paul begins to explain. He says, and there in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, that the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. You know, if we tried to get to heaven, still living in our sins, we wouldn't get there. We can only be justified based upon what Jesus did, dying there, sacrificing His body, and shedding His sinless blood. It is through Him that our sins can be washed away, giving us the hope of everlasting life. In the next chapter of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul explained that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is through Jesus Christ that we have everlasting life. And God gave us His only begotten Son, showing us that He is extending His grace. And yes, the grace of God is also a gift. In Ephesians chapter 2, there in verse 8, Paul explained it very, very well. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." There's not anything that we can do to save ourselves in this life. Rather, we need the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. But notice that Paul says clearly here, we are not saved by grace alone, but rather we are saved from grace through faith. How does one get that faith? Well, from Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." If God saves us through His grace in accordance with our faith, and our faith comes from hearing the Word of God, it makes sense then that God would also give us His Word to get that faith, doesn't it? And that's why Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is accessible. And that is why we are not only here the first day of the week, but Wednesday nights to study His Word, and I hope and pray every other chance that we get as well throughout the week. So yes, God gave us Jesus. He gives us His grace. In fact, He gives us everything that we need. Do you remember what James had told Christians? In the book of James, chapter 1, he said there in verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Yes, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Everything that we need to do His will here upon this earth, He gives to us. Everything to make our life as pleasant as possible, He gives to us. And we've always must remember, from whom all blessings surely do flow. But there is one other important thing that God gives to us. And that is, as James says in the very next verse, in verse 18 of chapter 1, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." He brought us forth by the word of truth. We know God gives us His word, and He also gives us the truth. It seems very hard in the world today to know what truth really is, especially when different people say different things. It's hard to find anyone to come together in perfect agreement, but if we would all go by the Word of God, we would know exactly what the truth is. Because you'll remember Jesus tells us in His Word what truth is. In John chapter 14 and in verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by me." So Jesus is the truth. And then later in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying and said, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." So if Jesus said it and if Jesus did it, you can bet it's the truth. If you can read about it in the Word of God, you can bet it's the truth. And God gave us His Son, and He gave us His Word. He saves us by His grace in relationship to our faith. And therefore, when we remember of all the things God has done for us, surely there is something that we can do for Him. As we've been studying in the book of Genesis on Sunday mornings, we're reminded about the life of Joseph. And one thing that we haven't come across yet, but hopefully will before very long, in Genesis chapter 50, there in verse 20, you'll recall that Joseph was reminding his brothers about all the things that they did to him. And you remember he said that you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. In the same way, those people that Stephen was preaching to, they meant things for evil to Christ. But you know, God meant it for good. Because of that gift, that sacrifice, we have the hope of everlasting life. And it is through that way in which I am very, very thankful. As we get ready to conclude this afternoon, let's look finally at a passage in 1 Thessalonians. I'm sure that it will ring very familiar to you as you begin reading in chapter 5 and in verse 16. This is what we are truly to be thankful for all the time, not just one day out of the year. In verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul begins by saying, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Jesus did His Father's will. And as we do our Father's will by sharing the story of Jesus Christ about His sinless life, about His death, His burial, and His resurrection, we can always rejoice of what Christ did for us. We are to pray to God always and in everything be thankful. Throughout history, there are a number of men that have commented on the things that they are thankful for and the circumstances regarding that. I'd just like to read a couple of quotes that go along very well with what we're talking about this afternoon. "Gratitude goes beyond the mine and thine and claims the truth that all of life is a pure gift. In the past, I always thought of gratitude as a spontaneous response to the awareness of gifts received. But now, I realize that gratitude can also be lived as a discipline. The discipline of gratitude is the explicit effort to acknowledge all that I am and have is given to me as a gift of love, a gift to be celebrated with joy." And you can see how that truly relates to Jesus Christ. But also, one has said, "It is delightfully easy to thank God for the grace we ourselves have received, but it requires great grace to thank God always for the grace given to others." Think about the grace that God gives to us, but everyone else in this entire world. Let us share that message. And as Paul in his letters often said, "Grace be multiplied to you," or "grace, mercy, and peace to you," so we can extend the things from God unto others. This afternoon, what are you thankful for? Are you thankful for the gift that God has given to you? Or have you even partaken of that gift? Do you need to respond to the invitation of Christ? Do you need to believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you need to repent of your sins? Confess your faith before men so Christ will confess you before His Father in heaven. Do you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins? Do you need to remain living the faithful Christian life? Have you lived faithfully for a while but have wandered away and wish to come home? If you need to do any of these things, please come back as together we stand and sing.